are. Amen. Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. Amen. Verse number 15. I'm going to read this and try to preach to you. Amen. It came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, I want you to get this next phrase. Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holding that they should not know Him. I'm not going to preach this, but sometimes there's no substitute for the real thing. You can get to the place that the preacher can come to you, but it just won't do. Your sisters can come to you, but they just really don't understand. You can get so under it, and maybe I'm in the wrong build. Maybe I got the wrong congregation tonight. But you can get so under the pressures of this world that people just don't understand you. You can be pouring your heart out to the Lord on the altar, and the priests walk in and think you're drunk. And him look at you and say, you've been drinking. And she says, no, I've just been pouring my heart out to the Lord. I'm so overwhelmed, I've got to have him. And the priest didn't understand where she was at. Tonight I would that, I know y'all are going to look at me even funnier when I get read my title tonight than you did last night. I'm going to preach to us on what happens when you lose your pop bottle. Is that all right? I felt more confident about it last night than I do tonight. Got more notes than I do tonight than I did last night. But I'm going to try to preach to you, all right? Amen. Would you stretch forth your hands, ask God to help us. And the church said, amen. Amen. All right, here we go. For those of you that weren't here last night, I told them that I used to preach with a pop bottle when I was just a little boy and had a dream of being a preacher. Amen. And what I didn't tell you last night was, is a few years after I got that dream, the devil got it. Amen. He took it. And I didn't become a preacher till I was 19, probably 13 years or so passed, I guess. I don't know exactly, but I was a young man when I used to do that. And I lost that vision, and I lost that dream, and it was a bad thing. I want you to understand here that you have got to have your ambition and your dream. Amen. Ambition is what God give us. Amen. It's what drives the business world. Amen. It's what pushes men to the top floors. Amen. Of Columbus, Ohio, was they had an ambition in their heart, a vision, a dream. Amen. To do something, to be something. They had that from just an early childhood. Amen. Or at least in college at some point. Amen. That drove them to be what they was going to be. Amen. But many of them that started out to go that direction tonight, they're not up there. Many of those are on Skid Row. There's many of us right here that could say, there's people that started out with us that are not among us anymore. Amen. They started out like us and they wanted to be a preacher in this, but they don't have it now. They've lost it for this reason or that. Amen. And many of us are here and we're still coming to church, but coming is all we're doing. Our life has become almost a job instead of a joy. It's become a heaviness instead of the spirit of worship. Most of us have come to the place that serving God is something we do out of duty and obligation instead of out of desire. Amen. We come. We know we have to come. We're kind of like those boys in John chapter 5. That man had laid there for 38 years at the porch. But I want you to understand, he didn't want to be there. He had rather been with his children, his wife. He had rather been fishing, riding his four-wheeler. He didn't want to be on that porch, buddy, but he knew if there's any chance of ever getting help, I've got to be on this porch when the water's troubled. And that's why many people have got to the place many've got to in their Christian experience. They don't really want to live holiness. They just know that they've got to. Say amen. They don't really want to be here. They just know that they've got to be. They don't really want to lift their hands. They just know if they don't, and everybody's going to know, I really don't have my pop bottle. Woo-hoo! I mean to tell you, we've come to that place in the church where we know where to say amen. We know how to shout glory to God. We know how to preach. We know how to sing. But for most of us, our Christian experience is simply a job. It's simply something we do because we have to. But brother, that's not the will of the Lord. The will of God is that we would have a bubble in our heart, a joy in our step, amen, and a smile on our face, looking for the day that we make it, amen, to the top floor and our dreams are fulfilled. Most of us, I'm going to preach here, most of us have been through so many troubles, so many trials, so many backbitings, so many church problems, amen, that we've almost said, what's the use? Let's just come to church, stay on the porch, make it to heaven and let it just end that way. But that's not what God wants from us. He wants us to have that pop bottle and us realize that He's going to do it. And I'm just waiting on God to do it. Amen. Stay with me right here. In this chapter, we find two boys. They were much like us, much like Paul and John. Amen. And Peter and the rest of them, they received a call from the Lord. He spoke to them, said, come. They left houses, land. They left everything that they had to go follow this man, this sandal-footed Savior that walks on the shores of Galilee. They left everything to follow this man. They left mother, father, jobs, everything. And every bit of hope they had was, he's going to set a kingdom up. He's going to set a kingdom up, redeem Israel, and we're going to be a part of the inside circle. Hey man, we're going to be one of those. I might just get to be the vice president if I'm not playing my cards right. I might get to hold the money. Something good's going to happen. So they left everything much like you did. Much like you left your family, didn't want you in holiness. Your moms and dads didn't want you in the church. Your aunts and uncles thought you lost your mind. But you said there's something about that man. And you left everything because of him, didn't you? You left your worldliness and your makeup and your jewelry, and you left everything that everybody said you was crazy for leaving, but they just didn't have the words that done what this man's words done. Amen. When he spoke, never a man spake to you like this man, and hope filled your heart. I mean, you were so excited that it was going to happen. I hear him talk and I can't wait to see it. But brother, over a few years and a few things happened, and we watch as the Savior has promised this. We watch as Jesus has told us it would happen. Amen. He said, I'm going to do this. But you understand, they didn't get his words right. He said, I'm going to tear this temple down, and in 3 days I'm going to raise back up. But they did not get it. You understand me? They did not understand exactly what he said. And because they didn't understand what he said, they got in a mess. I mean, they got in trouble, mister. And they watched this man, and they watched him heal the sick. They watched him lay hands on the dead and get back up. They watched the lame walk, the blind see. They watched the deaf to hear, and the dumb to talk, and the lame to walk. They knew what it was like. They knew it. He came can do what He said He's going to do. Amen. He is able. And they were so happy and so excited. But brother, they watched this man that promised them. Now they see him led to a whipping post. Amen. They watched as Pilate and Herod has brought him before the mob, and they've heard him cry, "Give us Barabbas." And inside their heart, the devil's reaching for their pop bottle. And they're watching as all their hope, have they left everything to follow him. And now all of their hope is wrapped around the whipping post. And they're watching as the cat of nine tails stripes him. And one lash, and another lash. And they're thinking anytime he's going to get up and he's going to redeem us. He's going to get up from here and he's not going to let us go through this. But they did not understand how he works. Brothers and sisters, they watched their hope. They watched as he walked on and he walked on and he carried that cross up to Golgotha's hill. And they watched as he took his last breath. He inhaled and exhaled as the flesh ripped up and down that cross. And they were still gathered around thinking, he's coming off here. He's redeemed others. Surely he can redeem himself. He's going to get off. But finally his last breath leaves the body. And Jesus goes limp on the cross. They watch as they take him off and put him in a borrowed tomb. And now the devil's got a hand on their pop bottle and he's pulling it out of their hand. They don't want to let go of it. They're just watching all of their hope. They're just watching all their ambition, all of their dreams be placed in a borrowed tomb. I mean, they was even excited. But brother, something happens when you lose your pop bottle. And the first thing that happens, you're going to go back to where you came from. They went back to where they came from. They started on their way back. And as they walked, they were sad. I'm going to tell you something. When you start being sad all the time, you are on your way back. You have lost your hope. And you have lost what He said. Brother, why should children of God be sad? We should lift our hearts in jubilee and know that things are not bad, my brother. Leave your sorrows and come along. But by and large, the church, we have seen Him place. He's so far away from us right now. He's so far away from our circumstance. He's so far away from our heartache. He's so far away from our need. And inside of us, we have lost it. And we're sad. So we're saying, I'm going to come to church. But really, I don't feel much better than I did when I was a sinner. I don't feel much more power. I'm preaching to somebody. I don't feel much more joy than I did. I don't feel much more anointing than I did. I'm at the same place I was when I started out. Hey man, I feel the Holy Ghost here. There's somebody in here that's hungry. I said you're hungry to feel that again. You're hungry to have that power again. That experience you once had when He first spoke to you and said, come. You'd like to have it back. I talked to a man today. Spent all afternoon on the phone with this gentleman. He told me, he said, you don't know as I can talk about this. He said, you're the only person in the world I've said this to. He said, man, I'm in trouble. He said, my family don't know what kind of shape I'm in. He said, the only reason I still go to church is the experience that I had about 10 years ago. Laying on the floor, speaking in tongues, looking at my wife shout, and I did not have the strength to get myself off the floor. He said, that is why I still go to church. I don't have the power, Craig. I don't have the prayer life. I don't have the joy that I have then, but I have the remembrance of the experience. So I still come to church. I miss Wednesday nights sometimes, but I still go to church. And we don't miss on Sundays except I'm out of town. But we still don't go to church. That's where you are, sir. I feel the Holy Ghost right here. That's where you are right now. You ain't got it a bit more than nothing. You're going to smile and wave this off. But the truth is you need a fresh experience and a fresh power, because you are on your way back from where you came from, or you would not miss church. You would miss prayer meeting. You would miss midweek. You would be at the workings. You'd be at the gatherings. The fact is you're on your way back. I didn't come to get on to you. I'm going to tell you what happens. The first thing that happens, you go back where you came from. Amen. And the second thing that happens, they lost their fire. They didn't have that fire anymore. Listen. Is the fire there? When you feel a little prayer wheel turning, then you know a little fire is burning. And just a little talk with Jesus will make it right. Amen. I said, I'm thankful when I feel that desire to pray. And I feel that pull me to my knees. I know that He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. But it bothers me. Listen to me. It bothers me when I'm so busy working. When I'm so busy at the fire department. I'm so busy preaching. I'm so busy riding my motorcycle. I'm so busy at Walmart that I don't feel that fire. It burdens me when I don't have it. It bothers me. And I just might have lost it if I can't feel it burning. Thank you, Lord. Listen. And they lost their conversation. Everything they started talking about was negative. Did you hear what the church is doing? That pastor, that preacher, those singers. We've just about quit preaching on the temperature in the church, though, because folks are afraid to mention that we've preached on it so much. They'll sit there and freeze to death before they tell the pastor they're too cold. So many preachers have preached on it. Woo! It's too loud, too soft, too quiet. Ain't loud enough. Come on here. Come on now. And nothing is right. I'm going to tell you something. When I get in the spirit, I couldn't tell you who's on the drums, who's on the bass, who's on the piano. And I couldn't tell you how loud they are. I couldn't tell you how quiet they were. I couldn't tell you what they were doing. I barely could tell you what song they was playing. Once I get in the spirit, but we've become so carnal, it's too loud. It ain't loud enough. It's too cold. I say, bless God. Let's get our conversation right. Let's get our dream back. And we won't fight and bicker over the sound, over what's going on. We'll say, let's build a church. Let's build a work of God. Ain't got time to talk about it. I'm on the wall. And I can't come down. Too cold, maybe so. But I'm on the wall. Can't come down to talk about it. I got to get this thing done. But ain't you heard what they done? Ain't you hear what they said? Didn't hear what the preacher done? Come on here. I know I'm at the right church because I'm in a church. Amen. Woo! If I wasn't in church, it might bother me that I missed it. But I'm in a church. I know y'all. I know me. That's the way we are. But I say, I ain't got time to fight with you. I got a work to do. I got people to get saved. And we need to get our mind and our conversation on the things that it needs to be on.
And if there be any praise, think on these things. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are of good report, whatsoever things are true, virtuous, if there be any praise and get done in Shadeville tonight, we'll have to think on these things. We ain't going to talk about the weather and talk about what was on the news. We're going to talk about the goodness of God and the land of the living and the mama shatata babahaya. And at the moment we do that, brother, we'll get a hand lifted up. We'll get a voice lifted up. Ain't worried about who's in revival. I'm worried about Jesus. Ain't worried about who's going to preach. I'm worried about Jesus. I wish somebody lift a hand and say, I'm worried about Him and His goodness. But when you lose it, you want everybody else to lose it. You would have already been in the promised land if you could talk better. Come on up here. I said you would have already been in the promised land if you hadn't said we look like grasshoppers. If you'd have come back and said, they're big, but greater is He that's in us. Oh, y'all ain't gonna help me not. We would have already seen a revival if we'd have come back with this report. He that's on the Lord's side, stand up and let us walk into the land, He said. Come on, listen to me. Listen to me. Miriam was a very good shouter before she got a cell phone. Help me, please. We just come through the promised river, the Red Sea. And dear God, Moses is the greatest. A few years later, ring, ring. Hey, brother. Can you believe the mess this guy's got us in? Come on. Are y'all here? I got y'all. No, that's why you ain't saying amen, because I got you. Come on. Oh, yeah, I heard about them. Yeah. Well, I ain't talking about them. I'm just sharing prayer quick. Yeah, now we ain't talking. No, we're Christians. They preach on talking about it. We just want you to pray for them. Right. You think I'm crazy, don't you? We went through a time I told my wife, disconnect the cell phone. Get rid of it. Everybody that called. Ring, 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 ring. People said, I tried to get a hold of you to preach. I said, well, that's a good thing. You're the only one. Rest of them's calling. And I got to listening to that. So I got so depressed and so down, so low. I thought there wasn't nobody good in the whole church. I mean, ain't nothing about holiness. Yeah. I got to the point, there ain't no holiness people good. They all got long tongues and long hair. You have to. I mean, I got bitter at everybody. Bless God, ain't nothing. They don't want to talk about people. Ain't none of them no good. Ain't one of them no good.
Come on. Cut that thing off. We got too much bad stuff coming.
Yes.
Ain't too many bad stuff. Cut that thing off. Just a few months after getting rid of it, woo! Got to feeling better about myself. Now, it ain't all cause of cell phone. I got more sense than that.
Come on.
I know that. And I know now that not all people's bad. And I knew it then. But when it's in your mind and it's all you can talk about, it will affect you. We talk about these charismatic people like they've lost their mind because they won't speak enough. I mean, they go plumb overboard. They won't say, I'm sick. Them laying in the bed dying with the flu. I ain't sick. And I bless God, I ain't sick. Well, dear God, look sick to me. I mean, come on here. I mean, but you know what I'm talking about. We make fun of them because they won't speak nothing. And brother, they make fun of us because all we do is speak bad. What would happen in the church if we just started looking over at each other and said, God is good. Here, this gets real sticky, and I'm going somewhere here. Jesus draws close to them. And they explain their problems to him. And they ask him, haven't you heard? And they say concerning Christ. And Christ standing with them. Some of you have lost so much of that joy that He is working with you and you can't see. They had so lost it that that circumstance and trouble they was in, they could not see. It was Him. Hey, some of you, He's right next to you, and you've had trouble on top of trouble, and you've blamed it on the devil. I'm telling you, it's not been the devil. It's been Him standing with you trying to change your position.
Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost out here.
You've blamed it on the devil. But it's not the devil. You've been dry in your heart, cold in your soul. And it's the Savior standing with you, trying to tell you you're going the wrong way. Losing that home wasn't the devil. Losing that job wasn't the devil. Getting sick wasn't the devil. That was Jesus working with you in His severe mercy. Amen. Trying to keep you out of judgment. That was Him. He is with you. Don't blame it on the devil.
I told one man, I said, your car didn't blow up, sir. Because the devil had too many miles on you, didn't change the oil right. That's why it blew up. The devil didn't flatten your tire. Bless God, you ran over a nail. You walked in a yard, you drove in a yard where they'd built a house. That's why you got a flat. Wasn't the devil? Are y'all here? The devil does do things. I'm not stupid. But brother, if everything happens to you in your life is the devil, you're serving the wrong person. Woo! What He does to you ought to be limited and far and few in between. Because every time He starts to you, He ought to have to try to walk over the blood. Amen. Y'all ain't going to help me preach. Every time He says, I'm going to get her, but I can't cross that line. I'm going to get come up. That's Jesus. And He loves you. And He's put you through some hard times. And Jesus loves you. And He's took away your money. And He loves you. And He's took away your job. And He loves you. And He took away your peace. And He loves you. And He took away your joy. Because you was going the wrong way. And you couldn't see Him. Sister Stephanie, come on here. But all of a sudden, come on. They get some bread out. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost. They get some bread out. And Jesus takes it.
Come on.
And He blesses it.
And he broke it. And he gave it. And they stopped. They said, there's something different. He was known of them in the breaking of bread. Because when he takes you, he always blesses you before he breaks you. He will never break you first. Because if he does, you couldn't stand it. So he has to bless you for a season. So he can break you. And after he breaks you, he can give you. And they said, he operates a lot like my Savior. This was him. And he was working on me. The first thing that happens when you lose it, you go back. You lose your fire. Your conversation changes. And you can't see him no more. Yes, but the last thing that happens, I feel the Holy Ghost tonight. He doesn't let anybody backslide easy. He don't just let you walk out. The last thing that happens is he shows up. And he sends a 3-night meeting and a little country preacher. I don't know about little. And he shows up. Because when you get to that place, you can't get to him. He has to come to you. That man I was talking to on the phone today is one of the... I have to be careful. I don't know where this goes, but he goes to church. He's wealthy beyond our comprehension. 38 years old. He's over the whole state of... I ain't going to say what state. He's the head man in a huge corporation on Wall Street over a whole state. And he said he was at church, and his pastor, where he goes, he said, I've been so hurt, I don't even call him brother. I don't claim to be part of nothing. He said, and this is a miserable place to be. And he told me, he said he preached a message, how to catch a lamb. When he was a little boy, he said everybody was trying to catch that lamb. And nobody could catch it. And the pastor, just a young man, walked in there and said, let me try. He said everybody else chased that lamb everywhere. He said, but when I walked into that corral, he said that lamb come and run and jumped in my arms. Now, I feel the Holy Ghost here. He said, I wanted to go up there so bad. But inside I couldn't turn loose. The reason I felt the Holy Ghost today to preach to you, Jesus Himself
came. Is there any name sweeter than that name? When I couldn't go up to Him, He came down to me. You know the thing where I'm at right here. Jesus let them know He was alive. And everything changed once they realized He's not dead. He's still on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for me and you. And He's not dead. And at the instant they realized He was alive, they went back where they were from. Now, I'm trying to preach this because I feel with everything in me that you know you've tried to reach Him. And you need Him to touch you and let you know He's alive. Because if He's alive, all this other stuff doesn't matter. If He's alive, because He lives, I can face tomorrow. What I want to make this altar call this way. I had strength tonight. I felt like preaching, but I wanted to slow down and talk to you. When you come, you know what I want you to simply do? You don't have to do it naturally. Just don't wrestle with Him. Just come and say, I can't get to you. I need you to come to me. And I'm going to tell you what will happen. All of a sudden, your eyes will start. And you'll see Him as He is. And you can get up from there and you can walk out with the same trouble you came up here with. But this time, when you walk out, you'll walk out knowing He's alive. And He's going to work it out. And you can have your dream and your pop-pop in the midst of your trouble if you know He's alive. Stand with me right now. Lift your hands. I feel the Holy Ghost. Every head bowed all over the building. You're here and you say, I'd like to have that back, preacher. Lift your hand. Don't be ashamed. That'd be the only thing that'll hold you is your pride. Right now, lift your hand. Say, I would like that. I want it. I want a fresh one. I want a new one. I need a fresh touch. I don't want this to be a job or a trud. I don't want to lose the dreams and things and the devil's after them. And I need right now, I need Him to come to me because the battle's so hard, the sickness is so bad, and I can't get to Him. And I'm going to come and open my hands and I want Him to come get Him. Come on, right now, get out. Come on, right now. Come on, the Holy Ghost is dealing with you. The Holy Ghost is pulling. I'm coming because I want Jesus. Come on, I need Jesus. I need a fresh touch. Don't act like that. Let your heart be broke. I need Jesus. Come on, y'all raise your hands. Now don't let pride keep you from getting it. Open your hands up and say, Lamb of God, just as I am, I come. I mean, whatever happened to our altar calls where we said, oh, Lamb of God, just as I am, cold and indifferent, with the wrong conversation, with the wrong outlook. Here I am, just as I am. Come to me. Come to me, Lord. Come on, let's find us a place to pray. And let's plead with God. Come to me, Jesus. Come to me.
To where He was, He came to me.